from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Bears Report with Mark Brody.
One more Flus. Eat your heart out, Daniel Norris, because Matt Eberflus, your boy Brody, was rolling on this, and it has to do with movies.
What's your favorite movie, man?
I got a lot of good movies. Probably Forrest Gump.
My very best girl, Jenny.
No. Hot Jenny? You lock that down? Oh, I gotta get to the bottom of that. Hot Jenny, girl, where are you at?
She's in heaven with Mama.
You have any friends that aren't dead?
Lieutenant Dan.
Hey, where's he at? Stand up, man.
That is the most Flus answer ever.
That's a fun movie.
I mean, honestly... If we would, I wish you would have said, Flus tells us his favorite movie. Everybody guess. I feel like one of the four of us hits Forrest Gump.
Any given Sunday.
Got a lot of good movies. Probably Forrest Gump.
Best Picture, 94. Fantastic, if you ask me. I got beef though. I rewatched it. Movies get different as you watch them, like later in life. And I got beef with one of the characters, Mrs. Gump, specifically, played wonderfully by Sally Field, who's Tom Hanks' mother in that movie, and a love interest in a movie 4 years earlier. So, little movie magic.
That Tom Hanks, see? It was the Tom Hanks effect, you know?
Hello.
All right, good afternoon.
My name's Forrest. Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump.
You want a chocolate?
I don't know.
I could eat about 1.5 million of these.
Everything's looking where it is, in terms of good.
My mom always said...
What's that?
My mom always said...
What's that?
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates.
Meaning what?
You never know what you're gonna get.
Words are awesome. I love words.
Those must be comfortable shoes.
Yeah, that's... I'm not gonna comment on that.
One, two, three, and here we go.
Some people like Chris Emma.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
We're some of those people.
5 o'clock on the Parkins and Spiegel Show, live from Wrigley Field. The show today brought to you by Bosch Power Tools, what hard workers deserve. Following up an absolute masterpiece from Chris Tannehill, imagining a Forrest Gump, Matt Eberflus conversation is just perfect. This is big. Emma, we appreciate you, sir. The big story, of course, each and every one of these Bears reports, how did Caleb Williams look in practice?
Yeah, good to be with you guys. It's been notable what we've seen so far of Caleb Williams. It's taken what really the observations we've all seen from film at USC and now entering this next level, it's translating, right? The processing level, what we've continued to hear, what I've heard personally from people around the league is that he's going to be, from day one of the best processing quarterbacks in the NFL. It's noticeable the way he does it. He goes through his progressions quickly. He climbs the pocket naturally. He gets the ball out in rhythm and in timing the way that a play is designed to be. It's different, and you can see it. It strikes you when you're watching him practice, whether it's 7-on-7 or a 2-minute drill, whatever it may be. Caleb Williams and his performance has been clear to us.
Wow, that's the stuff right there, the processing. Could ask some generalities about that, but to Danny's point, what about today specifically? Yesterday, there was a fourth down completion in the 2-minute drill to set up what would have been a game-winning field goal for Cairo Santos. How did it go today, especially in the crunch time they do at the end of every practice?
Yeah, same kind of deal. Today was the defense's day. They were able to kind of stifle the offense a little bit down the stretch. But Caleb did have his moments. And play of the day to me was a play earlier in practice in which Caleb Williams found Tyler Scott, who found a seam down the left sidelines and hit him in stride. Scott kind of lost his footing. Otherwise, that would have been a long touchdown. But it was a great throw from Caleb Williams. Clearly, the ability to recognize that his guy got open in coverage and was able to pull the trigger on that. And Tyler Scott's had a couple moments so far early in training camp, which is good to see.
Who told you that on the national level that Caleb Williams will be one of the best processing quarterbacks in the league? Because that's heady stuff.
Let's call it a league source. You know, talking with people leading up to the draft, people who have been scouting him, and people who understand what Caleb Williams can do at the NFL level.
That's the stuff that we became convinced, at least I did, was not in Justin Fields' wheelhouse. That's the big
difference. That's why he's not here.
That's
right?
The big difference, yes.
That's why he's not here, and he's not starting in Pittsburgh at this point. One more thing on Caleb before we get to the sound, Emma. The highlight of, you know, him rolling left and jumping and throwing back across his body and doing some of that Mahomes stuff. I love that they're doing that by design. I don't want any of that coached out of him. Yeah, it might lead to some mistakes, but it also, to me, represents the ceiling. How much, if at all, are you seeing that in the portions of practice that you're viewing?
Yeah, I mean, you've seen some of those moments. You've seen some of that where Caleb is kind of, for lack of a better term, freestyling to get the ball out or make a play that he needs to do. And look, like, you're exactly right, Danny. This is the time where you see what you can and can't get away with. And the mistakes are okay. He's going to throw interceptions. He's going to have passes that he's going to want to have back in a game, but it's July. You're able to see what you can do. And yeah, don't coach that out of him. Let him be Caleb Williams. You know what he can and can't do out there, and you feel really good about he can have some of those Mahomes moments. It's going to be really fun if he is doing those on a Sunday.
Chris Emma doing the thing today after Bears camp and Bears practice, in for Mark Grody with us here on Parkins and Spiegel. We'll get nuggets and tidbits towards the end, but start us off with the defensive line, a very important guy in Jervon Dexter, Chris.
Yeah, my pick to click for Bears camp and really going into the season is Jervon Dexter. We got to hear from him today. He showed up for the offseason program looking noticeably slimmer. And it is that time of year, right? Talking about best shape of their life and that kind of thing. We all kind of roll our eyes. But I think in this case it really matters, because Jervon Dexter was a guy coming from Florida. He had to adjust from a two-gap scheme to one-gap assignment, really firing off the football. He was not explosive the way that he wanted to be. He struggled at times with his assignments. He wasn't really comfortable. It all started to click late last season for him, and then he shows up at training camp in very good shape and really feeling more explosive to get off the line. So we got to hear from Jervon Dexter today. He showed up at camp a couple days ago running the defensive end conditioning test. He talked about it as almost kind of marathon shape, what he was looking for. Here's Jervon Dexter on why and how he was able to make those changes.
I've noticed that the good ones can do it one or two plays, but the ones that end up, that go down as great ones, are consistent in being able to play one through fourth quarter. So that's why.
Make changes to your diet too?
I did, yeah.
What did you do?
I leaned out some things. I took out some things. I took out like late night snacks. So, for example, if there was something that I usually have later at the night while I'm running up to bed, I would probably cut it out or do something that was a little healthier for me. So things like that.
How different do you feel?
Say it again, please.
How different do you feel?
A lot different. Yeah, I feel like I can move around easier. I can go longer. So I feel a lot different.
What was the toughest thing to cut back on and take out?
I would say that late night snack, man. It's different things that I would eat, and I just like, man, I'm like, one honey bun won't hurt me, and right. So yeah, just I cut that out, and now I feel a lot better.
Damn, good for him, man. That honey buns are good. they're really, really good.
Yeah,
and they're especially
delicious.
Good late at night. I don't know what it is. Things taste better late at night.
It's the THC. I think that's what it is.
That's Parkins, Danny right there.
I think that's what it is. I'm not saying that about Dexter.
Yeah, it's legal.
Yeah, it's totally legal.
That's good stuff. And wanting to be a guy who can do it first quarter through the fourth quarter is a smart goal to have.
Yeah, I mean, you rotate right along the defensive line, obviously. It's a grueling position. You're being blocked by multiple 300-pound guys every snap that you're out there.
And you got to be the quickest guy on every one of those snaps. That's the goal.
And then you got to chase down the ball carrier. So you sprint towards the quarterback, and then if the ball gets thrown behind you, you got to chase down the play from behind. And the monetary aspect of it, you haven't been paid yet. And so if you want to be a professional athlete, you can have honey buns when you're retired at 35. You know, so like, That guy got second-round money. It's good money, obviously. None of us would turn down that salary.
That next contract could buy a lot of honey buns.
Yeah, the next contract is, you know, if you're a disrupting, like if he hits the goals that he set for himself that we saw in that social media post around OTA or minicamp, where it was, you know, Pro Bowl, All-Pro, what do you remember the specifics? I want to say it was like 8 sacks and 15 tackles for loss or something. I mean, if he hits those numbers, that's $20 million a year plus salary type of production at that position. So, I mean, Chris Jones got over $30 million. So, you know, it's the type of thing where, cut out the honey buns, Emma.
Yeah, look, I mean, Ryan Poles was not – thank you, I appreciate that. Ryan Poles was part of scouting Chris Jones in Kansas City. That was a second-round pick to the Chiefs, who became, as you mentioned, one of the premier defenders in all the NFL. I think they see Jervon Dexter being that kind of guy, maybe not Chris Jones level, but being that kind of mainstay. Matt Eberflus has referred to that position, that three technique spot, as the engine that drives that defensive identity. It is paramount for Jervon Dexter to be getting off the football fast. And anytime you ask Matt Eberflus, what does he need to do to become that guy? That's the first thing he says. It's the get off. It's the explosiveness. Jervon Dexter thinks it's there now. He feels good right now. Now we're going to see a couple days now. They put on the pads. He's going to be going full speed. He's going to be getting at some veteran guys up front. You're going to really be able to see whether it translates or not, whether this is one of those July stories that just kind of gets forgotten, or whether this truly is a stepping stone towards something more for him.
You know, Montez Sweat is the truth, and it's interesting to think about how the whole defensive line kind of functions based off his threat. What are they going to do for additional pass rush? What is the idea of how they're going to manufacture pass rush without another edge rusher of consequence at this point?
Yeah, I thought it was notable speaks last week that when we did hear from Ryan Poles, he spoke about it before he could even be asked about, saying we really like our defensive ends, we like our pass rush, we're going to be exploring doing due diligence, but we like the group that's there, and I do believe that's the case. Speaking with people around the league, the Bears have not been super active in exploring that defensive end market yet. There's a guy out there, and his name is Yannick Ngakoue, who had 4 sacks for them last year. He's once again waiting deep into free agency, and he signed last year in August, and it's going to be the case likely again for him, but my understanding is the Bears have not engaged in that negotiation. They've not been looking for Yannick Ngakoue, and they like what they have with DeMarcus Walker, and they really like what the potential of Austin Booker, in addition to a guy like Jacob Martin, who they signed in free agency. But got to hear from Eric Washington today, the defensive coordinator, about how this whole pass rush can really work as one. His vision for that group, here's what Eric Washington had to say.
What my vision, I mentioned the very first day I walked into this room, that we want to build the best pass rush in the NFL, and that means a pass rush that's consistently effective and that can be relied upon with just 4 guys, you know, affecting the quarterback, hits, sacks, sack fumbles, making the quarterback throw off schedule so we can take advantage of the exceptional secondary that we have. And so there's an individual component to that, and then there's the group component. They have to rush together. They have to understand how to communicate, how to install and affect the different rush concepts that we believe will fit that particular situation. And we got to be relentless. We have to be relentless, and I'm seeing that right now, some really positive signs of that as we've gotten through the first 4 practices.
Good choice to highlight that guy. His coaching, his teaching, his organizing, his motivation, it matters a great deal for this team. So what's the takeaway from that, them all rushing together and kind of the unified approach? It sounds like a coach 'em up thing, which obviously is going to matter.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big hire, right, Emma? They're putting a lot – that's the spot where they've probably invested the least, and so they need the most out of coaching. Is that a fair characterization?
I'm with you, absolutely. And Eric Washington's background is in coaching the defensive line. He knows what he's doing with that group. He's developed some really good young offensive linemen into becoming premier players in this league. And when you talk about a guy like Jervon Dexter, it's not just Travis Smith who's the defensive line coach. Eric Washington is going to be a key part of that development. And more so when you look at that group as a whole now. You talked about Montez Sweat, the way that he drew attention, the way that offensive lines had to focus on him. Eric Washington's going to know, how do you play off that? How do you isolate a guy like a Dexter or Pickens or whoever it may be off the pressure and the attention that Sweat's getting, and create a 4-man pass rush based off that? So I think Gary Washington is going to be a very important figure alongside Matt Eberflus. Eberflus clearly has a lot of trust in him, and I think he's going to be really imperative, a key part in developing this defensive front for this group.
Hey, Chris, have you seen or heard talk of Zach Pickens getting much work outside? I wonder how much Eric Washington would be interested in that.
I'm not yet. That's a guy I'm curious about. Like, he was the first pick in the third round a couple of years ago. This is a high draft pick, a guy they're really expecting a lot from. And yeah, we have been talking about a lot about Dexter, and rightfully so. But Pickens is a guy who should be making that kind of leap as well.
So on the offensive line, Darnell Wright is before this most recent class, it was the highest draft pick of Ryan Poles. What did we get from him today?
Darnell Wright, yeah, he spoke about Caleb Williams and what he's been able to see so far of the Bears' rookie quarterback, and he can relate. He's been in Caleb Williams' shoes before as that young guy who's trying to step in and really kind of master every bit of his assignment. It's different from a tackle compared to a quarterback, but he understands the struggles that Caleb Williams endured with the cadence part. He sees that all gone now. He sees Caleb Williams really in full control and command of what he needs to do. Here's Darnell Wright.
Yeah, he's doing a really good job. You know, it's always hard. Even I remember my first year just getting the cadence. I mean, I know I'm not the one saying it, but just keying into it, it's a totally different thing from college, from what you did in college. So, you know, it does take a while to get that. But I think he's done a good job just because he's controlling the huddle. He's getting everybody. He's the, you know, kind of the general or whatever of the huddle to get everybody on the same page. So I think he's doing a great job. He's definitely improved a lot, even since when we came back.
It's interesting to hear Darnell Wright talking like a veteran. You know, I still think of him as this kid that they like went down and before the draft, and Ryan Poles put him through that massive test physically and everything, and still learning and everything. But now it's year two, kid. What you got?
He's got a high ceiling, man.
Yeah, he does.
But you know, I mean, what he showed, just it's rare for a rookie to show like look as good in pass blocking and run blocking. Like he showed some abilities at times to be dominant in both. I think that guy's a lock for a second contract with the Bears, and just I will be floored if he isn't looked at as a very, very good, like top five right tackle in the game kind of player.
While we've been on, the Vikings have done a new contract with Christian Darrisaw.
Darrisaw, yeah.
It's Christian Darrisaw, the left tackle, $77 million guaranteed for the left tackle, $113 overall, as they buy out the last 2 years of his rookie deal. So keep working there, Darnell.
Yeah. Right, yeah, 77 guaranteed, 2 years left.
Yep.
So that's 44 guaranteed. Yeah, he can get it. Darnell, because there's not, you know, there still is a left tackle premium, but it's not as much. Right, right tackles are getting big money too.
Yeah, they are.
At this point in the game.
Who played center today, Chris?
Yeah, it was Coleman Shelton's day at center. They continue to rotate day by day, so it'll likely be Ryan Bates on by that point on Thursday when they get back to work. They are intent on this. They are really set on keeping this rotation going. I asked Shane Waldron yesterday, when do you want to have competition really shift to continuity and have that guy Caleb Williams knows is his starting center? And he kind of left it open-ended and say they want to let this thing play out. My belief really is that I think they're still wondering what they have at guard and if Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis can stay healthy, be available, and be what they believe they have in those two guys when they're out in the field. Bates is certainly your guy who slides over to guard, and Shelton at center if you are missing either Jenkins or Nate Davis. They've both been out there so far, but they both missed a lot of camp last year, so that's obviously something they want to keep an eye on.
All right, delicious Bears nuggets from Chris Emma.
Oh, they're so good.
They're so good.
Yeah. Keenan Allen, Mercedes Lewis each had a Veterans Day today. Lewis is 40, as you know. He took Veterans Day each Thursday during the course of last regular season. Curious to see if Keenan Allen, who's 32, may have a built-in Veterans Day or not, but they each were on the sidelines today, being around their teammates. We mentioned that two-minute drill, which the defense was able to prevail in over the offense. Eric Washington referred to that as a gut check, talking about the importance of that for a defense in those moments. And lastly, today was community day at camp. Local organizations were out on hand. The first practice for ticketed fans will be Friday, and that's also when the team will go in full pads for the first time.
Wow, full pads on Friday. Here we go. And Fan Fest not going to happen this year because of the Hall of Fame game and the reworked schedule. So tell us a little more about the community day today. What do we have? We had causes out there and such?
I believe it was local football teams, local high school teams and youth teams out there. I saw a lot of kids in football jerseys out there, and it was a great atmosphere. People were fired up, and you could feel the energy. Obviously, with a guy like Caleb Williams, like, there's people who are really excited to be out there and embracing the idea that this could be the start of something.
You know when else I could feel the energy? Was in this Bears report.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Emma brought it.
He did. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
That's Chris Emma with a great report from Halas Hall. As you
cut out the honey buns, Emma.
What the hell?
My bad about that.
Yeah.
Bears training camp
so
is on
direct. Tanny, one more time in the clear. Go ahead. That's beautiful.
Cut out the honey buns, Emma.
Seriously. I mean, my God, what a bad guy. On the air. On the air you did that. It's one thing. You walk up to a guy and you bully him. You know? Who said bullying is good yesterday?
That was me.
Cut out the honey buns, Emma.
I think I was saying it in conjunction with...
You're talking about it for Jermon Dexter.
Yeah.
But it sure sounded like a direct attack on a colleague. It really did. You can't even defend yourself.
No, I can't. I can't. I can't. I'm summarizing. I was doing your counsel summary. Bears training camp is underway. Mark Grody's next installment of Training Camp Live is tonight, 6 to 6:30 on the score, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Bears. And speaking of Craig Counsell, if you missed our conversation with Nico Horner or Counsell, they happened earlier today. You can go back and listen in the rewind feature, something you can only do in the Odyssey app. Search 670 The Score, tap earlier today to get started.
Counsell, as always, was, you know, a roller coaster of emotions and tension.
It was just electric. It was
she me.
Yeah. It was laugh a minute.
There were some laughs in there.
No, I agree.
There was some very, very interesting stuff. Nico today was just phenomenal. I mean, on the outside chance that they end up trading Nico Horner, I just want to say, if that was our last weekly hit with that dude, you know?
Don't even do that to us.
I just did it.
Don't put that into the atmosphere.
I don't want it to be the case.
I know you don't.
I don't want them to trade that guy. Dude's hitting freaking laser beams. He's got some Dustin Pedroia in him since the 1st of June. Number one in line drive percentage in all of MLB. Guy's hitting lasers. And he's, a terrific defensive.
Well, how can you say that?
I know. I'm sorry.
We should have acknowledged that it could have been our last one with him.
I'm doing it now.
Yeah, but hey.
I mean, he'll answer the phone.
Right, exactly.
He's got to talk to his opposite field spirit animal, Shane Reardon, for the rest of his life.
Yeah, I couldn't hear. Did you guys talk to him about, the comparison that we're the same hitter at the start of the interview?
Well, multiple, at the start and end.
The interview.
Yeah, you led the interview, buddy.
He referenced it back when we talked about one of the possible fixes to get more offense in the game being to expand the foul lines, which Ben Lindbergh wrote about the other day. Nico said, you know, with all the way I'm hitting down the right field line, thanks to Shane, that'd be really good for me.
Great. So, I'm glad he's listening, finally.
Yeah.
Bum.
Whoa.
You think he'd still do the weekly if he was a Mariner?
If the Mariners let him, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think he would too, right?
Maybe like a bi-weekly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would do
every
it.
Other week when we don't have
he's
counsel.
Not going anywhere. Don't worry about
yeah,
it.
No, we'll
I don't think he's going
I talked to Jed earlier.
Good.
Yeah,
I said Mike Salk and Brock Huard about that.
Whatever you do, do not trade Zach Remillard. That's what I went in there and said.
That's good.
That's good.
That's important.
That's good. By the way, when Chris Emma said that Ryan Bates was playing center, I thought he was about to say Ryan Pace was playing center.
No. Pad level's terrible.
Yeah, no, it's a horrendous pad level.
No, not good at all. Doesn't do a good job of identifying the mic. Speaking of Jed, though.
Speaking of identifying the mic.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
He identified some realities about his future next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Honored to be on their show earlier today. Danny and Matt do an excellent job interviewing people.
Afternoons on The Score.
He never walks around like you. We call him Dig Me.
Okay.
We have a Dig Me situation.
No, we don't.
On the show.
We have a no rain situation either.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's been no rain.
5:31 p.m.
Yeah, we were just in this booth all game, not on the field where we were supposed to be.
All I can say is that my life is pretty strange, Danny. It's nice to be up here.
That's a music song.
Good job. But I wish we were down there. Would have been more fun to be down there, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. This is still pretty great.
It does look like it might rain, too. They just uncovered the tarp, like they're getting ready for some of that rain business.
Hey, Speaks, run that lyric back for me. What do you think it is?
All I can say is that my life is pretty strange.
No, it's not. Plain, not strange. I'm 99% sure. All I can say is that my life is pretty plain.
Oh, I like watching the clouds.
I like watching the puddles gather rain.
I like watching the puddles gather rain. Yeah, that's good. All right, I messed it up. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you, Shane.
Woo! Correct it with Dig Me twice,
yeah.
Shane.
Yeah, well, good for you.
Listen, Shane,
there'd have to be a first one for it to be a twice.
Well, how do we want to describe the picture that you just posted of yourself on Instagram?
It is a thirst trap.
It's not a thirst trap. I have nobody to trap. I'm not trying to trap someone with thirst. I never post pictures of myself.
Uh-huh.
The Cubs photographer, who was a P1, was talking to Peter and I down there for a little while. He took a couple of pictures of Peter.
Yeah, no,
very
he took
nice
some great
pictures.
Took some
he
show
took a,
pictures.
A picture that I thought that
why don't you
looked
post
pretty,
one of those?
Pretty. I'm not going to post a picture of Peter
you
on
should.
My Instagram.
What about
I,
the show?
I thought the picture looked cool. And I put it up there.
It does.
So I got people telling me I post my girlfriend too much, so I stopped posting her, and now I post a picture of myself, and I can't even do that.
I've never said anything about you posting your girlfriend too
much. I didn't say you guys, but you're the ones who are bringing it up right now.
Well, we're not the ones who brought the other stuff up.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Are we all the same people?
That picture where you're looking longingly into the distance.
So cool.
Leaning up against the dugout
yep.
with your shades and the black hat and the black shirt
yeah.
and the beard.
Just a good photographer. I did not pose. That's a candid picture.
No, it is not.
Peter?
No, it is not a candid photograph.
Danny, I didn't even know the picture was being taken.
Uh-huh. No, I think you were trying okay. to you were trying
that's
to look
on
like
my life.
That's how you stand.
You were trying
on
to look like
life.
Trying to look like Charlie Blackman.
On
and you're getting
your
that
life,
done.
On Speed's life, on
Johnny
Peter's
Gomes,
life, on Ryan's life.
No way.
Okay, DM the photographer and ask him.
Why are you standing like that?
Because then? Nico was to my right, and I was trying to listen in on his conversation with you guys.
You're late. Okay.
I mean, it's possible. You know, the one thing that you might have to confront here, Danny,
just,
is that
he's just getting his lean on.
Yeah, oh, such
he's
a lean.
Showing off his tats and his forearms.
I'm not
strength.
Showing them off.
Caressing
I'm just
the dugout
t-shirt.
Railing.
Yeah,
he is caressing.
Yeah. That's how you stand.
Caressing
Danny looks like Diamond in the Back Sunroof Top digging the scene with a gangster lean. You know what I mean?
Check those lyrics, Tanny. See if you got them right.
What are you talking about?
Yeah,
you did not know. This guy is crouched next to you. It looks like 2 feet away to take this. You did not know he was taking a picture?
I did not.
No chance, dude. No,
okay, all right. You don't have to believe me, but I know what the truth is.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, the guy's right next to you.
Oh, wait. This picture is now in Playgirl magazine.
Yeah,
it just made Playgirl.
As it should be. Me and Steve Stone.
What is going on? You're going to claim that you didn't know he was taking your picture?
I'm telling you 100%.
He was digging himself so much that he didn't notice in an empty ballpark there wasn't a guy with a camera crouching just below him.
Oh, you're taking a picture? Oh, that's interesting. Sure. Wait, hold on 1 second. Okay, let me lean over. Hold on. Let me get the thumb pointed out straightforward.
You see my owl tattoo?
For anyone who knows
every tattoo on my knuckles.
If I knew he was taking that picture, I would have been closing my mouth because I don't like when my teeth or lips show.
Yeah, you are puckered a little bit.
Exactly, Tanny. You know that I close my mouth for every picture.
Here's how we know that you know this picture was cool and was thirst trappy because you do the self-deprecating. Y'all ever see me in a black shirt and sunglasses? Or no way.
I get made fun for it, so I'm going to lean into it.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's a genius of social media to like take a little bit of shot at yourself just to pull it down just a hair.
Mm-hmm.
When you know
your teeth
awesome.
Aren't showing. Your mouth
but
is
my,
closed.
My lips are.
You don't show your lips
so,
in pictures?
Normally, I'll show you the way my mouth goes when I know a picture's being taken.
All right.
Well, oh, you hide your lips.
little bit.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Look, yep. it's hard.
Check any other picture of me.
This is hard for Danny to admit, but Shane's the coolest of all of us.
He definitely is.
That's not even something that we have to even try to rank. We can all just be four people doing a radio show. We don't have to do that.
That's good, because I'm actually the coolest of all.
Okay. Whatever.
This is definitely what cool people talk about, by the way.
Exactly.
Whatever you guys want to think, I did not know that picture was being taken, but I'm very glad that it was.
Okay.
That's why Tanny's the coolest of all of us, because he immediately shot all that down.
Exactly.
Exposed us as the idiots that we actually are.
That is a lovely posed photo.
Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead, Danny. Segue cleanly to Jed talking about his future.
Well, Jed often, when he gave his address, he was in that dugout that Shane was leaning
on. There you go. Well done.
So, you know,
That was yesterday.
That was yesterday.
Yesterday's big news was Jed talking. Today's big news was Shane leaning.
Yeah, we got to send that picture to Nico and ask him if he thinks that you're posing. But anyway, his future, because he's 4 years into a five-year deal, it'd be a little weird to be a lame duck executive. Are you going to sign a $200 million player in the offseason when you might not be here for all of it? Let's hear how Jed addressed his future.
You've been here 12 years. I don't think we've ever had to ask you about your own job status and things like that. But after this year and just maybe the way things have gone, are you getting a vote of confidence from Tom? What's it like upstairs?
I mean, I answered this last time too. So yeah, no. Last thing I'd think about, you know, like the minute I become part of the conversation, I'm not making good decisions anymore. And so to me, it's just, you know, simply about, you know, trying to make good decisions for the organization. That's why I'm here. That's why, you know, Theo hired me before that. And you know, like I said, I feel great about where the organization is, but played badly for 2 months, and we have to, you know, now we have to make decisions as it relates to that.
Do you guys have to, like, kind of, yes, self-evaluate, the term we use, you know, the front office, how you guys have done building a team? Is that something you guys do, obviously, later? I know you guys talk a lot all during the year about that stuff, but, like, is that something you'll focus on after the season?
Certainly, like, when the season's over, I think you go back and assess all those different things. You know, what, you know, I think you do that even in successful season. You know, what do we miss? What do we get right? What do we not get right? You know, I think, you know, it's, you know, this year in particular, I feel like, you know, I think, you know, we had a very, you know, very similar team to last year, kind of adding Imanaga and Bush, you know, to that group. And obviously, you know, our players, you know, have not performed as well as a group as we did last year. And so, yeah, I think, well, of course, like, you know, you're doing it every day. But, like, I think at the end of the year when there's no more games, I think you spend time thinking about, like, you know, you're always thinking about what do we miss. What do we get right? You know, how do we do it better? I mean, if we're not doing that, I don't think you're never going to get to where you want to go. You're not going to, you know, I mean, take it as an individual level. Like, if I'm not better at this job next year than I was this year, then I'm not doing it well. And I certainly know I'm better at the job now than I was, you know, 3, 5, 10 years ago. So I think you have to kind of always approach it that way. Like, you can't stop learning.
He's right. You know, he's right. He will address the job security. He obviously thinks the decisions that he's making are the correct ones. It's hard to sell organizational health when the team has this kind of record at the big league level. Most people, like I said yesterday, don't care about what's happening in Iowa or Tennessee or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea that it's only 2 months of bad baseball. If this team is as similar to last year's team as everybody says it is,
then it's 2 years of 85 win caliber baseball.
Correct.
Yeah.
They were 83-79 last year.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they are, what, they're 500?
Yeah, I think they're 500 right
now. So that means now in the last two seasons, they are a game under 500.
Look, the reality.
No, they're four under. They're 49-53 now. So that means last season to this season, 162 games plus 102 games. So that's 264 games. They are 500. they are 132 and 132. They're not special.
There's a reality here in terms of the team building that I think we've all come to realize and understand, and you're right to zoom out and look at both years. And it's a team that could win 85 to 87 games, something like that, both years. It's a mid-80s kind of team. And if that team overachieves, they could have a 90-win season. If that team underachieves, they could have a 78-79-win season. And that's not a big market behemoth. That's not what those organizations do in winning years, in targeted winning years. They aim higher. They spend more. They go over the first threshold of the tax, and I know that they would have had they played better in this first half of the year, and they would have added. And
yeah, I mean, that part I do think, in fairness, needs to be said. They've done it before. They were prepared to do it again and trade from prospect. But they didn't earn it in the first 100 games.
They didn't earn it in the first 100 games, and there are moves they could have made where Christopher Morel is a DH and a power bat off the bench and a utility guy, and Matt Chapman is your third baseman. You know, something like that. Or, you know, and it's not like Chapman is having a great dominant year, but no. Oh boy, the defense would have been phenomenal.
Much better.
And he's got, what, 12 homers, 13 homers, something like that. They could have spent on Josh Hader and had Hector Neris as a setup with Julian Merriweather and Mark Leiter Jr. And then you've got a legit closer, even though it's a lot of money on a closer, but all right, what are you doing? What's the goal here? They could have aimed a little higher spending-wise, and built themselves a 90-win team on paper that if they underachieve, it's an 85-win team, and you're probably still doing a small buy at the deadline. You're outplaying yourself.
So they think this was a 90-win team on paper.
I don't think they do think it's. I don't know.
I think they think it was because of the manager.
Because
of the addition of the manager.
But the manager doesn't factor into that on paper. And that's,
well, sure it does.
That's why this ends up being a really uncomfortable data point in the conversation about manager value. Because most people will tell you that a manager, unfortunately, is not something you can bank on, especially when he's just in his first year and he's just getting to know guys. And it's because it's ineffable. It's hard to wrap your head around exactly what their value is in a given season. And Council's value is institutional and organizational and systemic. And banking on that to make a difference in year one has looked like folly at this point.
We'll put a bow on this thing from a pretty special dry day at Wrigley Field, though reports are that it's raining north of the city. Should get here, what do you think, around 6 o'clock? It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on The Score.
Craig Council, who joins us now on The Score.
You know what it is, Danny? It's a day we could get sunburn when there's supposed to be rain in the forecast, now that I realized it. We're grumpy up here. We don't get to be on the field, Craig. It's twice in a row now that the weather gods have done this to us.
Yeah, I know it's a precaution, but it seems like we should have a nice night.
Yeah, it should be. It should be just fine.
I got one.
Don't jump on
the pitch. Blame it on the rain.
Oh, hell yeah.
Still nice and dry.
Milli Vanilli, baby.
There you go.
One of the true musical success stories of our time, right up until the point it was exposed that they didn't actually sing anything.
Lip sync. Probably bad for a singer's reputation.
Yeah, it's true. They did win a Grammy, though. I think they won Best New Artist at the Grammys, and then it was exposed that they had actually been lip syncing the entire thing. It's pretty remarkable.
Well, I get to keep the Grammy?
I don't know if they had to hand it back.
I don't think you'd.
I think they had to turn it over to the Goldman family.
Oh, wow. That's funny how that works. When is Reggie Bush going to get his Heisman back?
I don't know.
In a related
story. I think all of those things should go to the Goldman family. Myself. It's the least they could do.
Tonight, the Cubs begin a series against the Brewers at Wrigley Field. Pre-game coverage. Or it's not beginning.
They played last night. I don't know if you guys saw.
Yeah, no, it's game two. Put anything in a prompter, he'll read it.
Yeah, the copy. Yeah.
Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30. First pitch at 7:05 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network.
And to be fair, all I did was copy the copy that was sent to me.
No, you're good, buddy.
Okay.
I
didn't want you to think that was staged or anything.
I'm not pointing too many fingers at you.
Didn't want you to think that was premeditated.
No, if it would have been staged, though, we got him good, didn't we, Shane?
Yeah. God, you pranksters.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable.
Go F yourself, San Diego.
That's right. But no, people are saying that it's raining around the ballpark.
Yeah, and the skies are dark here, and I understand. It's okay.
Wind's blowing out, though. Could be some solid offense tonight.
A lot of BP home runs getting out of here.
Yes, a lot of BP home runs.
Yeah, I'm looking at the wind. You're right. Wind is hustling. And it appears to be, well, in left field, it's not really doing much of anything. I guess
straight to center.
Straight to center. Yeah, okay.
Straight out to center, which is a good place to hit the home runs. What would it take? Would it be 7-game win streak before the deadline for you to not be broken, for you to be fixed?
No, I'm out, man.
You're out.
I've
seen you flip flop on less than 7 games of win streaks. You're not out. I don't believe you're out.
I told you, sweep of the Brewers, I'm still not back in. They got to prove it to me more so. But, you know, I think the big takeaway today, I came here today wanting to know how Jed's message to the public yesterday had been translated within that clubhouse. And the answer was, it was not.
Yeah, Nico said no one said anything to them. They found out on social media like everybody else.
And Craig said, no, we didn't tell them or feel the need to tell them. Because then, as Craig said to us, nothing has changed. And that makes sense for them as players. We talked about it in transition. They've got to show up every day, every night, think positive, go ahead, do their job, and do their thing. And Craig Counsell said they still believe that if they play well and do the right thing, that this is a playoff caliber team, and that's the way that they need to go about their business. And, you know, so good luck. I wish them luck. I am done with my conversational proclamations that they have time to do it.
Probably 38-22, you know, gets you a wild card spot. You'd imagine.
I bet that would.
You're 3.5 out, sure. Trailing 4 teams. If you played that hot down the stretch,
so you'd be 11 over 500 at the end of the year.
Yeah, well, get you 85, 86 wins, right? That gets you in. A couple teams with 84 wins made it last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got to win roughly 2/3 of your games. Given they've won the last two, so you win 2/3 of your games the last 60 games of the season, 62 games of the season.
Hey, man,
you'll get in, but that's a 95 win pace. Nothing about this team in 2 years has suggested that they can go on a stretch like that for a really long period.
It's going to be a wacky trade deadline. The Mariners and Jerry DePoto are going to be aggressive. AJ Preller and the Padres are going to be aggressive. We'll see then what the Dodgers do, what the Yankees do, what the Red Sox do, what the Braves do. It could very well be a seller's market. Fascinating opportunity for Jed to reshape this team if he gets super aggressive. It'd be interesting.
Yeah. Hey, shock me, man. Tyone, maybe. Like, what's the biggest name you could see being traded right now? Tyone.
Yeah, I think.
Bellinger took BP today. You could trade an injured guy. That's obviously a bigger name.
Nico.
I'll be floored if they trade Nico.
Yeah.
I will be absolutely floored if they trade Nico.
I don't think
I could see them trading Hap before I could see them trading Nico.
Hap's got a no trade. I don't think they'll green light it.
I know.
No, I could see him Tyone, Bellinger, maybe Nico and some relievers. If you're selling, like Leiter Jr.,
any
Tyson
reliever,
Miller.
Any reliever.
Yeah, I mean, people like that. I don't think there's any way in hell that they're trading Justin Steele. I think that stuff just doesn't make a lick of sense to me.
I think they would trade Morel, but I don't know that anyone's really terribly interested in Morel.
I think they missed the boat on that. Mark Grody's coming up next, right?
He is, yeah. Mark Grody comes up at 6 o'clock and then Cubs pregame at 6:30. We had a busy show. We had Nico Horner on the show today. We had Craig Counsell on the show today. Chris Emma did a terrific Bears report from Halas Hall. We appreciate Connor O'Donnell and Kevin Lapka, Twitch chat, video stream.
Pete Crow Armstrong.
Thank you, sir. Pete Crow Armstrong
really
popped
good
on the show today. That was a fun 8 minutes that was unexpected. As well, excellent job by Peter Hansen today down there with Shane Reardon, Robbie Triano back in the shop. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Rich Wyatt doing a terrific job, as always.
Ryan Porth commandeering and making everything happen. And Joe Rios from the Cubs broadcast team. Thank you so much.
That's exactly right. Chris Tannehill making us sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
That's radio, right? I mean, whatever. They tried. Didn't go over well. All good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You know what it is, Danny? It's a day we could get sunburn when there's supposed to be rain in the forecast. Now that I realized it, we're grumpy up here. We don't get to be on the field, Craig. It's twice in a row now that the weather gods have done this to us.
Yeah, I know it's caution, but it seems like we guys should have a nice night.
Yeah, it should be. It should be just fine.
I got one.
Blame it on the rain.
Oh, hell yeah.
Still nice and dry.
Milli Vanilli, baby.
There you go.
One of the true musical success stories of our time, right up until the point it was exposed that they didn't actually sing anything.
That's probably bad for a singer's reputation.
Yeah, it's true. They did win a Grammy, though. I think they won Best New Artist at the Grammys, and then it was exposed that they had actually been lip-syncing the entire thing. It's pretty remarkable.
Well, I get to keep the Grammy?
I don't know if they had to hand it back.
I don't think you'd.
I think they had to turn it over to the Goldman family.
Oh, wow. That's funny how that works. When is Reggie Bush going to get his Heisman back?
I don't know.
In a related
story. I think all of those things should go to the Goldman family. Myself. It's the least they could do.
Tonight, the Cubs begin a series against the Brewers at Wrigley Field. Pre-game coverage. Or it's not beginning.
They played last night. I don't know if you guys saw.
Yeah, no, it's game two. Put anything in a prompter, he'll read it.
Yeah, the copy. Yeah.
Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30. First pitch at 7:05 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network.
And to be fair, all I did was copy the copy that was sent to me.
No, you're good, buddy.
Okay.
I
didn't want you to think that was staged or anything.
I'm not pointing too many fingers at you.
Didn't want you to think that was premeditated.
No, if it would have been staged, though, we got him good, didn't we, Shane?
Yeah. God, you pranksters.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable.
Go F yourself, San Diego.
That's right. But no, people are saying that it's raining around the ballpark.
Yeah, and the skies are dark here, and I understand. It's okay.
Wind's blowing out, though. Could be some solid offense tonight.
A lot of BP home runs getting out of here.
Yes, a lot of BP home runs.
Yeah, I'm looking at the wind. You're right. Wind is hustling. And it appears to be, well, in left field, it's not really doing much of anything. I guess it's
straight to center.
Straight to center.
Yes.
Okay.
Straight out to center, which is, you know, a good place to hit the home runs. What would it take? Would it be 7-game win streak before the deadline for you to not be broken, for you to be fixed?
No, I'm out, man.
You're out.
I've
seen you flip-flop on less than 7 games of win streaks. You're not out. I don't believe you're out.
I told you, sweep of the Brewers, I'm still not back in. They got to prove it to me more so. But, you know, I think the big takeaway today, I came here today wanting to know how Jed's message to the public yesterday had been translated within that clubhouse. And the answer was, it was not.
Yeah, Nico said no one said anything to them. They found out on social media like everybody else.
And Craig said, no, we didn't tell them or feel the need to tell them. Because then, as Craig said to us, nothing has changed. And that makes sense for them as players. We talked about it in transition. They've got to show up every day, every night, think positive, go ahead, do their job, and do their thing. And Craig Counsell said they still believe that if they play well and do the right thing, that this is a playoff caliber team, and that's the way that they need to go about their business. And, you know, so good luck. I wish them luck. I am done with my conversational proclamations that they have time to do it.
Probably 38-22, you know, gets you a wild card spot. You'd imagine.
I bet that would.
You're 3.5 out, trailing 4 teams. If you played that hot down the stretch,
so you'd be 11 over .500 at the end of the year.
Yeah, well, get you 85-86 wins, right? That gets you in. A couple teams with 84 wins made it last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to win roughly 2/3 of your games. Given they've won the last two, so you win 2/3 of your games the last 60 games of the season, 62 games of the season.
Hey, man,
you'll get in. But that's
very, that's a, what, 95 win pace? Nothing about this team in 2 years has suggested that they can go on a stretch like that for a really long period.
It's going to be a wacky trade deadline. The Mariners and Jerry DePoto are going to be aggressive. AJ Preller and the Padres are going to be aggressive. We'll see. Then what the Dodgers do, what the Yankees do, what the Red Sox do, what the Braves do. It could very well be a seller's market. Fascinating opportunity for Jed to reshape this team if he gets super aggressive. It'd be interesting.
Yeah. Shock me, man. Tyone, maybe? Like, what's the biggest name you could see being traded right now? Tyone?
Yeah, I think. I
mean, Bellinger took BP today. You could trade an injured guy. That's obviously a bigger name. Nico. I'll be floored if they trade Nico.
Yeah.
I will be absolutely floored if they trade Nico.
I don't think.
I could see them trading Hap before I could see them trading Nico.
Hap's got a no trade. I don't think they'll green light it.
I know.
No, I could see him. Tyone, Bellinger, maybe Nico, and some relievers. If you're selling, like Leiter Jr.,
any
Tyson
reliever,
Miller.
Any reliever.
Yeah, I mean, people like that. I don't think there's any way in hell that they're trading Justin Steele. I think that stuff just doesn't make a lick of sense to me.
I think they would trade Morel, but I don't know that anyone's really terribly interested in Morel.
I think they missed the boat on that. Mark Grody's coming up next, right?
He is, yeah. Mark Grody comes up at 6 o'clock, and then Cubs pregame at 6:30. We had a busy show. We had Nico Horner on the show today. We had Craig Counsell on the show today. Chris Emma did a terrific Bears report from Halas Hall. We appreciate Connor O'Donnell and Kevin Lapka, Twitch chat, video stream.
Pete Crow Armstrong.
Thank you, sir. Pete Crow Armstrong
really
popped
good
on the show today. That was a fun eight minutes that was unexpected as well. Excellent job by Peter Hansen today down there with Shane Reardon, Robbie Triano. Back in the shop, Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Rich Wyatt doing a terrific job, as always.
Ryan Porth commandeering and making everything happen. And Joe Rios from the Cubs broadcast team. Thank you so much.
That's exactly right. Chris Tannehill making us sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
That's radio, right? You know. I mean, whatever. They tried. Didn't go over well. All good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now. You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.